Good day, Life Group leaders. Pastor Nathan here again with another installment of our LeaderCast. This LeaderCast marks the second time we've talked about coaching, and I hope that you'll go back in time to our second ever LeaderCast, which was now almost 2 years ago, and listen again to the very first time that we talked about coaching, because these two LeaderCasts, when you put them together, they go hand in hand. Plus, on that last coaching LeaderCast, the one way back in time, I spent lots of time talking about the Muppets, and of course, talking about the Muppets is always awesome. I'm sure that you agree. Okay, coaching. For many, many years, I coached soccer. I have three boys and a daughter who played, so it kind of became a side hobby of mine, and I loved it so much. It was great to form relationships with the players and help the team drive their way to winning and sometimes losing, I don't like to admit it, championships. But the greatest joy that was watching the kids grow over a number of years, and I was lucky enough to have some of these kids on my team from elementary school all the way through middle school. And there was one season in particular that I remember very well. There was a new kid on the team, and he had this natural talent. You'll have that on teams, kids who just show up, and even though they've never played on an organized team, they've just kind of got the knack for it. So this kid in particular was the type of player that could drive from one end of the field to the other end, and no one would stop him. And he was one of those one-man wrecking balls until, of course, the other team figured him out. Now, the opposing team's coach, I remember they would, about halfway through the game, they would pull his kids over to the side. He'd give them a new strategy to help them deal with this kid and essentially shut down his drives by the end of the second half. Now, this would frustrate my player to fury, and he'd get angrier and angrier, and by the end of the game, I'd have to sit him out and let him chill, because I knew that if I didn't, there'd be blood on the soccer field. Now, my player wanted to be a superstar, but he only had one move up his sleeve, and that one move was highly effective until it was countered. So he didn't listen to coaching, he hated to listen to anyone else, and even though he was getting beat by the end of the game, he would never ask for help. So no matter how much I tried to connect with him, he wouldn't listen. He would go out and do the exact same thing and expect different results, which by definition is insanity, right? He burned himself out to the point where he was ready to quit. And by the end of the season, his parents wandered up after practice and asked what was going on. And I told them bluntly, he just doesn't want to be coached. He thinks he's got it, but he doesn't have it. He needs to see the field from my point of view, and if he'd change his play in just this little simple way, he'd be the best player on the team. So what happened? Well, his parents sat him down, told him that in the last week of the season, if he would listen to the coach, he'd get $20. Now, if only I'd thought of that. Anyway, sure enough, the last game of the season, he started off strong, and he hit his wall, and at this time, though, at the half, he actually listened to what I had to say. I told him what I was seeing from the sidelines and how to work around it, and he went back out, and on the very first play, he did exactly what we discussed, and lo and behold, it worked. And I remember after he scored that goal, he looked over at me, and he was smiling from ear to ear, and you could see, like, the light bulb above his head just click on. He finally got it. You know, soccer was not an individual sport. It required a team to actually win. And the entire team was better the next season because he learned to pass the ball, he used the strengths of others, and he capitalized on his own natural strengths. Now, of course, you are smart people. I don't have to tell you how this story relates to our life group coaching. Coaching is super important. When you're on the front lines of life group leadership, you need to have someone on the sidelines helping you see things from different angles. Some of you have flat out refused coaching, and I'm here to tell you that being a life group leader requires that you be coached. It requires you to attend the huddles that we have, and it requires you to answer texts and calls from your coaches once or twice a term. It's not because we want to set up another hurdle or make more work for you. It's because we know you need it. We've seen one too many naturally gifted life group leaders burn out and get frustrated and walk away from leadership that they were called to just because they decided to lead alone. Now, we're not made to lead alone, right? We are made for community and we're made for relationship. So I hope you'll take this to heart. Please don't seclude yourself from the help of your coach. Please take time to connect with them and share the good and the bad and the ugly with them. They're there to help. Again, take a listen to the LeaderCast, the archives. Find that second installment of the LeaderCast that also references coaching, because paired with this LeaderCast, you'll get a better perspective of coaching in its entirety. So do me a favor, please, just shoot a quick text to your coach and tell them how things are going. I'd really appreciate it, and I know that your coach would really appreciate it too. Okay, until next time, keep in God's word, pray continually, and stay connected.